Well, it's one of my favorite bands out of guess where? They describe it as out of nowhere in Germany. That's the Juju Orchestra with one of my favorite tunes, and I hope you're enjoying it. It's called This Is Not a Tango. I like when people tell you what things are not. So you're free to accept whatever it is you want to put in as what it might be or what it is. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and I'm hoping that you came through the weekend okay, that your brain is still intact. I'll tell you, I kind of had a need to just be quiet. I just needed to not get all wrapped up in what was going on. It seemed suddenly just too much. And, I even questioned how are we supposed to cope with this daily barrage of news about which we can do nothing? We could just listen, but we can't do very much more than that. We could think, but it does have a cumulative effect, doesn't it? It really interferes with your sense of order, with your emotions. You are troubled by this, you're angered by that, you're questioning the other. And we do this every day. After a while, you just need to go someplace really quiet and just lay down and just rest, just take a breather. And I found myself kind of floating into that direction, saying, I don't know how we could take this every single day. It's a lot to process. It's it jars you. It toys with your sense of stasis, and that has been a big thing for me. I despite everything else, I could deal with all kinds of calamities and whatnot, and I've been doing it for years, for decades. But you do reach a point where you just want silence. You want to reorder yourself and your life and your thinking and your actions. You want to calm down a bit because the pace at which you're going, you finally come to terms with the fact that it is not your own. It is set by some force or some people outside of yourself. And they have such inordinate impact on your life that you find yourself, hustling to keep up. Well, we're in the news business, and in the news business, that's the order of the day. Everything changes day by day. And you do feel a sense that you have to keep up, you have to know things. You have to be aware. And your brain is constantly saying, you know what I could do with right now? A really good cup of something, tea, Ovaltine, something. And you go someplace quiet and just sit down. Sit down, chill out, defrag your brain. And try to return to a sense of, well, okay, I'm back in charge. I'm okay now. That's been happening quite a bit lately because, I mean, everybody's chasing stories, and one day after the other, it is about quarreling and fighting and people having major disagreements and it just wouldn't stop. And after a while, you just, like I said, all you want is a nice cup of tea, and you want to go into a quiet corner someplace and chill out and return to your, what you consider yourself, your normal self. You know, you're not hyperactive, you're not breathing crazily, you know, you're just taking it easy. You really need sometimes to get to that point, which is a kind of warning to you. You need to calm down. You need to take it a little bit easy for a minute. You deserve it. And then your body will tell you when it's ready to re-engage. But every now and then, you do need to take a break. You do need it. And you have to listen to your body saying so. Because in the end, your body is a lot smarter than you think. It knows what's going on. And when there's too much pressure, there's too much happening within you, and you just need to just calm down. You cannot singularly solve the problems of the world. And you should have a handle by now on just how much you can take of it and when to break from it. Even for just a couple of hours, you just need to defrag and, you know, keep the world at arm's length for a minute, and you just chill out. Your body will tell you when it's time to re-engage. But that's been happening to me quite a bit. There's just too much. A lot of dissension, a lot of quarreling going on in the United States, a lot of high drama, a lot of unsettled business, a lot of questions about where are we going, what are we doing, and it's not good. So while you keep, you know, to the extent that you can, you keep as current as you can, but you must take time out to settle yourself back into yourself so that you're not feeling overwhelmed all the time and you're feeling more in control of your old self. That's the way to go, I think. So I highly recommend it. I did that over the weekend. I just said, you know what? I'm not vacuuming. I'm not cleaning. I'm not doing anything. I'm just going to sit down, or I'm just going to lay down and just recompose myself. And it was so, so helpful. I can't tell you. It was just, it reorganized my brain and refreshed myself. So I was very happy that I did that. I highly recommend it to you, that you would do the same thing. Find some time just to be by yourself and with a purpose of calming yourself down. Because whether you know it or not, you're walking around with a lot of unnecessary tension. It doesn't belong to you, so give it back. And just take it easy. Take it easy. You need to be around for a long, long time. Well, lots of things to talk about. This Friday coming up, we have our dear friend in Minneapolis, Derek Chauvin, is to be sentenced. He was convicted, as you recall, in April of the murder and manslaughter of murder and manslaughter charges in connection with his brutal killing of George Floyd. So he comes up for sentencing on Friday in Hennepin County District Court. The interesting thing is that there are two extremes here in terms of what people are asking the court to do. Some people are saying, and authorities even, they're saying, they're trying to lobby the judge, Peter Cahill, trying to urge him to consider, of all things, probation. Probation for killing George Floyd. I mean, how does that even enter your head? What could the possible rationale be behind that? Asking the judge to put him on probation. And the other extreme, of course, is that people want him to get the heaviest sentence possible. I think I belong in that class. I belong in that category. But we will see, because there is something being tested here with Derek Chauvin. You may recall that Chauvin was backed up by the Fraternal Order of Police, who had committed to funding a total defense team if he felt he needed it, and were willing to spend in the upwards of $1 million to do that during the trial. He did not pick them up on it, but they made it clear they were willing to do that, to indicate to him that they backed him as a fellow officer, even though, of course, he was thrown off the force. But that's what they were committed to doing. So he had indications that he wasn't totally cut off from his so-called community, that there were concerns that he should prevail, he should not suffer an inordinate sentence. So the sentencing on Friday is going to be very closely watched to see who in the end prevailed, because a judge, as I said, Peter Cahill, is said to be a pretty fair-minded judge and not likely to be swayed by these kinds of arguments, but more so to be swayed by the trial, what came out of trial, and the law, the applicable law. But it is going to be a very watched, highly watched process on Friday. But I want to talk to you also about the story. I live in South Florida, as you know. I live in a little beach town. And this story popped up on last Thursday. And last Thursday, the big story was that a small damaged boat, it was not perfectly seaworthy, but a small damaged boat was seen listing out at sea, but inching its way nonetheless to the shore in a town called Pompano Beach. As I said, it's a little sleepy kind of town. It's the kind of town that Florida beach towns typically were. Very small, very intimate. It banged into a seawall as it was coming closer to land. And that, believe it or not, was what helped the boat stop. Out of the boat emerged about 16 people. And they quickly made their way to shore. Of course, they scattered all over the place, because by then it was clear that they were suspicious people. And they needed to be rounded up and questioned closely. So they scattered and they were feverishly trying to find places to hide. Police nabbed one man who said he was Jamaican. He said Jamaica had become way too dangerous. There's a lot of killing going on there, he said. But curiously, many others on the boat were not Jamaican. They were, in fact, from the Bahamas, from Romania, from Venezuela, and even the United Kingdom. So I want to ask you to put on your detective hats right now and tell us what you think this whole thing was about. By the way, according to the Coast Guard, it was the 483rd time that the Coast Guard interdicted such a group of people coming into or coming ashore, intending to come ashore. The 483rd time since May the 1st. That's a lot of traffic. Since May 1st, the 483rd time. So I thought I would ask the detective squad what they make of this. It's a little bit of information, yes, I know. It's not as detailed as you would like, but I think you could make some sense of what's going on here, or what you think is going on here. The 483rd migrant interdiction in South Florida since May the 1st. What is it saying is happening? 888-874-4888 is the number to call. And let's see what your detective minds are picking up. What do you gather so far? What do you suspect is happening here? Sleepy little town. Everybody's easygoing. Nothing major happens in this little town in Pompano Beach. It used to be a fishing town. And then all of a sudden, we find out these things that are totally contrary to what it is we think a fishing town should be. What is going on? You tell me. At 888-874-4888. This is a very important story, by the way. I'm being very casual about it, but it's a very important story because Pompano Beach has now become, well, just not now, but has become a typical example of the thing that is going on across the United States and other countries as well. What is it? What is happening? For a little town like this, and we have it that the Coast Guard is saying this is the 483rd time, they have had to interdict migrants attempting to land in Pompano Beach. What does this indicate? What do you think? 888-874-4888 is the number to call. And I'm asking this because it is happening in a lot of towns all across the United States, but not only in the United States. Something major is happening. We don't know it, or we're not told about it, but something major is occurring, and we should pay attention. Like I said, they discovered that there wasn't the guy who was talking, and he said he just had given up on living in Jamaica anymore. It's too much crime, too much killing, he says. But then they discover that among the passengers on this boat were people from Romania, Venezuela, and even the United Kingdom. So this is not just Caribbean people popping up in Pompano Beach. Something else is happening. What do you think it is? 888-874-4888. Let's see how good your detective skills are, or maybe even promote you to a reporter, chief reporter on this question, on this particular assignment. What would you be able to tell us, you think, as a reporter pursuing the story? What do you think you're seeing when this thing happens? And put together, what is the rough report that you can start working on as a premise of your reporting? 888-874-4888. Oh, you're getting so reticent now. You're supposed to be brave. Jump in and tell us what you think. What is that about? What is happening? And what does it portend for the immediate future? Allie from New York, how are you?
How are you doing, Utrecht? How are you doing? Because I know that you were off a few days, so even though I was off myself. Yeah, so I hope that you're doing well, okay? Health-wise,
yes.
And, you know. Yeah, thank you. We will need more information, but I probably am wrong, but I will say this. It almost sounds like people that they bring it in here for military purpose. That's one thing that is done on me. I'm sorry?
Military purposes, you say. You have to explain that.
Almost like mercenary that they bring in people. Because remember, it was the Coast Guard who actually got the boat. But a lot of time when different countries, they do things in clandestine way that they don't want the people in those areas to know. Sometimes they even hide it from the people that they actually work for the government. So I would need more information, but to me, the way that you said that this person from Jamaica was caught, and then you're telling me that people from Romania, if it's a male, also people from the UK, and figuring out all those things is almost, and then you said it had been almost 400 of those trips. How many people have been on those trips? How many are the majority male? What is the, if it's the majority of them are male, how are they getting here? I know that in Europe right now, they have a lot of problem with immigrants. Of course, the European went to Africa and they took all the resources and they still want some more, but now they don't want the African immigrants to come to claim what they stole. So, yeah, so, but the way that you sound, I just heard the story, what you just said about it, and the only thing that I could think of is almost look like they're going to train people as mercenary or they're going to use it in the military, and they just bring it in a way where people, they don't even realize that they're bringing these people into this country. That's the only thing that I could think of, because one thing that is very strange is also that it's not too many people. It's not, you only said, I think it was 17, I think you said. And if he then, why? I'm sorry?
16, according to the reports.
Yes. So by the amount, and remember, when they do things that they don't want government, the people in the small municipality to know, they're not going to be a big congregation of people. They're going to bring a small group of people. Also, it could be maybe a smugglers, people that are smuggling people from other country. But why are they smuggling these people, especially from Romania and UK, into here? It's just like that's the only thing that I could think of right now. Maybe I will think about something else. Yes.
Okay. Well, your brain started working pretty early this morning. Thank you so much. Yeah. Sharing that with us. Thank you. 888-874-4888. Now, she gave us a couple of really good clues, but they need to have a little bit more meat on them. Are you able to add the meat on them? At 888-874-4888. Out of the blue, there is this banged up or seemingly banged up boat. And it's kind of crawling towards shore in this little town called Pompano Beach. And soon people started disgorging from the boat and running on shore looking for places to hide. And among them are people from Britain, from Jamaica, from the Bahamas, from Venezuela. And you would think, well, okay, Pompano Beach is really not that far. It's part of the Caribbean for all intents and purposes. It's not far from the Caribbean. But then you have these people from Romania and from the United Kingdom in the mix on this boat. What could possibly be the reason that people from the United Kingdom and from Romania and Venezuela and from Jamaica are all on this boat that is heading toward Pompano Beach, a sleepy little town? What could possibly be happening? 888-874-4888. You see how funny life could be. People are going about their lives every day, and we don't give a thought about, you know, things like this going on. But according to the Coast Guard, this is the 483rd interdiction that they have conducted since May the 1st. So it's a lot of traffic. You would think people in Pompano Beach would notice, but apparently the reports were not in, the police were not alarmed. But that's a lot of activity since May the 1st. You know, we are May the 25th, and 483 interdictions have already occurred just this month. So what do you think could possibly be going on? Let's see what your brilliant minds are suggesting. 888-874-4888. I thought you would crack this case by now. I thought you would crack it. Certainly, you'd be able to tell us what is going on. What does this suggest? What does it tell us about what is happening? in this region, certainly in what is going on in Pompano Beach, but something is happening. What is that something? And is it so significant? We have the number 483 interdiction since May the 1st in a little sleepy town. Oh, that's a brain teaser. What could you come up with? What are you thinking might be going on here? What should be looked at more closely, say? 888-874-4888. Now, you're very well-educated people. You're great detectives. How come I can't get from you a plausible explanation as to what might be going on here? What could it possibly be? 888-874-4888. Well, there's a story here, no doubt. There is a very big story here in a little sleepy town. But what is it? What is the story? If you were given this assignment, what would you be inclined to think the story might be? How would you approach it? How do you make sense of something that looks so incongruous? It looks so totally nonsensical. It just doesn't compute. But then it computes very, very well. What is going on? What do you think is going on? 888-874-4888. Positive, you're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I think that, first of all, what clicks in my mind, number one, is maybe that in general, with all the tracking, the satellite, all the border control that this country has, even with neighboring countries, that is highly unlikely that something like that would go on without somebody or some particular agency not really knowing it, knowing about it. And then at the same time, with these viruses and things of that nature, is it possibly some type of what do you want to call it? Preempted situation going on to set off some justification for some new type of vaccine that they're going to have to put out. You know, there's so many things going on unbeknown to the average public that if we ever knew a smidgen of it, we would have to rewrite the history, let alone what we can see, what we conceive as reality in this world.
Let's focus on the facts that I gave you so far, that I've shared with everyone.
Well, on those facts,
pretty straightforward, but what sense do you make of it? What alarm bells are going off in your head?
The main thing is, like I said, I think, you know, for that to be going on in that part of the world, that part of the United States, Florida. See, I don't know the demographics of Florida, demographics in regards to health-wise. I mean, is it a known site for a particular type of illness going on or not illness? Was it known prior to that of immigrants coming through that particular way? I don't know that. So
basic New York, American city by the sea.
Right. Well, you got me, Teresa. I have no idea. I didn't know what I just mentioned.
All right, I got you.
I'll be listening.
All right, thank you. Leona from Michigan, you're on the air. What's going on here, you think?
Well, I'm thinking it may have to do with all of the quote-unquote job openings that are being advertised in parts of the country, I'm thinking that, it sounds like a very well-organized operation, and that I've heard that in the past, sometimes corporations themselves have organized, you know, things of this nature, or invited people to come to this country, and, you know, once you get here, we have a job for you kind of deal. And 483 incidents from the Coast Guard in less than 52 days, that's huge to me. Average maybe 10, 12 boats a day or something, but it's a great risk that these people are taking, no doubt. And it seems like a pretty organized operation. It may be connected to the shortage of people on certain jobs. It may be connected to the many job vacancies that are being advertised, and these folks, they're coming for a reason. You know, they've been told something, and that's all I could put together. Interesting, very interesting.
Yeah, but you're not giving us the certainty that we're looking for, that you onto something here.
Hmm.
You're onto something. What is it?
Well, hey, the only thing I know for certain is that if the white supremacists are involved, it's going to benefit white supremacy.
Okay, but it doesn't look like it. You have a bunch of people. You have Romanians. You have people from the United Kingdom. You have people from other countries, all coming off of a rickety-looking boat in a sleepy town. And they happen to be among a lot of traffic. 483 such interdictions have been made since May the 1st. What's happening here?
I don't know, but thanks for bringing it up, Utrecht. I'm going to listen as well. Very,
okay.
Very interesting.
Me too. I would love to know what's happening. If anybody's onto something here, let's figure it out. 888-874-4888. Neil from Connecticut, you're on the air. What's happening here?
Shall I hang up, Utrecht?
Yes, thank you. I didn't know you were still on. Hello, Neil. You're on the air.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air, Neil. Glad
to
have you. Now, what sense does this make for you? What do you think is happening here?
Well, first I'd like to ask, is there any information regarding the age group, the demographic of these?
No, they're all adults.
Adult and male?
Yeah. No, they're a mixture, women and men.
Okay. That still doesn't rule out my theory.
What's your theory?
Secret military recruiting program.
Oh, really?
Well, what would the advantage of unknown? These people are all unknown quantities. That's great if you're trying to do something sneaky and secret.
But the military will go to this length. They have all kinds of ways of transporting whoever it is they want to transport, and this is the way they're going to do it? A rickety boat?
These people, well, they might have put the word out. It's obviously, like another caller said, it's an organized operation for that much volume. So the word's been put out, whether it's for employment or military recruitment, I'm suggesting that these are all potentially secret agents, secret
operatives. Oh my God!
None of them have social security numbers, do they?
I don't know. I don't know whether they do or not.
I don't think any of them have identification.
But
that's a resource.
We don't know. We don't know yet. We haven't received that much detail.
Yeah.
What we know is that it's about 16 people. They're all adults. And although the person who's heading it up or who was seen to be acting as the organizer, if you will, was a Jamaican man, they believe something else is happening here. And he is saying he had to leave. This is his explanation for being on the boat in Pompano Beach. Life is really too awful in Jamaica, too much killing. And he's fleeing to the United States because it's the better choice. So I don't know how you jump from that to secret military operation. The military doesn't have to go this route. They have all kinds of ways of transporting people if from the Caribbean to here, all kinds of ways. They don't have to go and rent a rickety boat and just bring 16 people.
Well, 16 times 483 was the count. That's a lot of people. Another way you could look at this is it could be a private coyote operation because it's organized. There's a centrality to it. Even though they're coming from various places on the planet, something has organized them to this one point of operation, the goal being to land discreetly on the U.S. So it could be a private coyote operation. These people could all have paid some private party.
See, now you caught my attention, because that makes more sense to me.
Well, the employment...
A secret operation by the military, they don't have to go through such lengths to just bring people from one place to another. But a private enterprise specializing in the movement of people from one place to the other, that makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm. So they could be seeking employment. But to land on this shore with no contacts, no resources, how do they expect to find work if they can't even identify themselves? Who would trust them?
Well, we don't know. Situations all over the world are in various degrees of distress, and people do what they think they have to do to respond and to continue to live. But you came, I think, so far, I think you came the closest to a viable explanation.
Well, somebody put
Thank
out
you.
An ad. Someone put out an ad. These people answered an ad.
Oh. You think so?
Well, it's one vehicle by which a private party could start a business.
Yeah, well, that's you've mentioned a coyote. That's a business.
Yeah. I just used that
okay.
term.
Well, you're getting us even closer, I think, as a plausible explanation. I would go with that. Thank mm-hmm. you for calling in. Mm-hmm. Mohammed from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Jeez. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I sincerely hope your health continues to improve, and I would just like to say good afternoon to all my classmates. I'll give you three reasons why I really feel strongly that these people are coming. One, they're trying to have everyone in the United States takes those shots in the arm. In many of those countries, they don't have access to those shots. I'm not going to call them vaccinations. And they know if they're here, they'll be forced to take it. Another reason is employment. A lot of people are walking off jobs, quitting in mass numbers because they're not paying a living wage. So that creates some employment opportunities for people who want to take a low wage. So it's health care and employment. Thank you very much. I'll listen to someone else now.
All right. Thank you for contributing. Those are two excellent suggestions. We'll see how people react. Ed from Queens, you're on the air. 888-874-4888.
Good afternoon, Trees. How you doing?
Okay, Ed. How are you?
You know me. My thumbs were here. Hanging on, hanging in. Being the second generation descendant of immigrants, I don't need to go down a rabbit hole. People leave their homes because they're in a desperate situation. Most people would rather stay where they're born at if they can eke out an existence and have a quality of life. That is a perilous journey. A lot of those people went to the Bahamas and then via through the Bahamas came across those straits. And there have been several boating accidents. There have been several. I remember when the Haitian people were trying to escape from Haiti and the Cuban boat people back in the 1960s. Those are treacherous waters. By the Sargasso Sea, by the Bermuda Triangle, those waters are treacherous. They're known for dangerous currents, and it's not an easy journey. That craft was not seaworthy. These are desperate people trying to escape desperate situations under the pretext that America is the land of milk and honey. And still a lot of foreign people believe that. So there isn't any cabal or any type of secret organization or military plot. These are desperate people escaping desperate times and taking a desperate route.
Okay. What does the number 483 suggest to you in terms of interdictions since May the 1st?
There's a lot of tragedy going on. This COVID situation has not only affected America. America is very myopic. It's affected the world, and it's still affecting the world. If you want to look into the fact that these vaccines are not that great, and there's a lot of what is called vaccine apartheid or vaccine monopolies going on, where some countries haven't even received the dose. Whether you believe in the vaccine or not, there's no arguing the logic that it has thwarted some deaths, no matter what the side effects are. And a lot of people believe that, hey, I need to get this. A lot of countries are still in dire straits. A lot of people are still dying. And like I said, the American myth, the American dream prevails throughout the world. I've traveled this world. When I was in the military and on some social events, there are parts of this where people believe that America is the great land of milk and honey, and they want to get here.
What does it suggest that among the people interdicted last Thursday, the people from Romania, and Venezuela and the United Kingdom?
Well, these are all places, especially Romania and Bosnia and all those. Like when I was in the military, there was actions going on there. Venezuela, these are places where American CIA and corporate interests have intervened in the geopolitical climate and in the social life of these people, and they want to escape. They've caused unrest and unstable governments. As far as the UK, I mean, people are just trying to get out. I mean, things are not good around the world. And in comparison, when you're coming from a place that is pretty screwed up, to get here is an improvement.
Mm. Okay. We're getting very, very close. Lots of developments in the story so far. And look. You are not involved. You just are hearing about this right now. And look at the way you are connecting the dots. And it now begins to make sense. You see? So,
yes.
I'm sorry?
No, I said yes. I mean, I totally agree with you. And Pompano Beach, like other border towns and towns along the Florida coast, it's an easy town to fold in. to melding. You know, I mean, you can, you know, one or two people getting off a boat in the middle of the night can slip into the populace and basically walk on into America. I mean, it used to be like the old border with Mexico used to be. Back in the 50s and the 60s, people used to cross. They used to just walk over. There wasn't any type of interdiction. There wasn't any type of enforcement at that particular point. And until here lately, in the recent past years, there's been increased enforcement, increased border patrol, all that Trump with the wall and all that. There are still places on the Florida coast that are easily to get in, that are easily easy to cross from. If you go to Bahamas, get a boat, get across the water passage, and you can walk right into America unbeknownst to authorities.
What does 483, the number 483 interdictions since May the 1st, according to the Coast Guard, that's a lot. What does that say?
Well, someone's alerted. There's been an increase in enforcement. There's been a tightening of the loop as far as that's the perception I get. I mean, if there were 400, they caught 400, you know, there's an old saying, if you steal once, you'll steal again. If you caught 400 people, how many others got through? Because those 400 had no idea that they were going to get through. Those 400 attempts with those people, they thought they were going to get through. So they had to get that idea from somewhere. So how often have people been getting through Pompano Beach, through other coastal cities by this route? How many people have come through already? That's what makes me think.
All right. Well, thank you. Getting us even closer to the answers we're looking for. Jackie from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Okay, good afternoon, Nutrice and listening
Hello.
Family. Hi, how are you? I agree with Ed and Neil, but I think it's a larger problem, which is human trafficking. And what I'm concerned about is if the Coast Guard is aware of that, then why isn't Homeland Security and Immigration Services involved in this? I don't understand that. But I believe that it is human trafficking. Can you hear me? There's some kind of sound on here. Okay. I don't know what's wrong. I don't think this is a good connection. Are you able to hear me, Nutrice? I think my call is terminated by technology, so I'll try another day. But I believe it's human trafficking, and my question is, what are the local and federal agencies doing to look at this?
John from New Jersey, are you there?
Yes, thank you.
All right. You're on the air.
It would seem that it is a coyote operation, and it would seem that the target for it would be the Broward Transitional Center that's in Pompano Beach, owned by the GEO Group, which apparently is a very well-connected group, which runs, I guess, the only immigration detention center that's privately owned in the United States. Looks like there's a lot of money changing hands in terms of politics for them. They're very well connected. And I would assume that would be a major reason why a lot of these coyote trafficking is going to that particular destination. It would seem like they'll sweep them right up and send them to the detention center.
And then what? What happens when they get to the detention center? Is that the end of the line, or do they get to be moved someplace else?
It would appear that when they get into this detention center, they stay there. There are complaints or at least evidence to prove that they are kept there for unusually long periods of time, unnecessarily confined, separation from families as well. It seems like a number of the offenses we all heard about on the border in the West, right, in terms of inhumane treatment and such. And this is all done with a private company that's apparently been awarded federal contracts.
Well, I'm so delighted that you brought this to our attention. I had no idea about it. I had no idea until you just mentioned it right now. And mm-hmm. that brings a whole new level of understanding to me about what might have been going on for quite some time over the course of 483 interdictions.
Yes, it would make complete sense, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. It certainly would.
The article I was reading this from is the Biden administration should close private immigration jail in Broward. It's an opinion piece by Felix Montanez, and he apparently is a lawyer with the senior staff attorney with the Southern Poverty Law Center, Immigrant Justice Project.
Well, we have done, I say we now because putting everybody in this category, we've done a great job today. We started off knowing nothing about what could possibly have been behind all of this. What was it that, you know, transpired? And now comes John, who puts a whole new layer on what could be behind all of this about the private detention center. And so now my work is cut out to me. I have to locate this private location center, and I have to locate Felix Montanez, who brought this to public attention, and I didn't know about it. But you see what happens when you start asking questions. You're asking questions that are logical and that will lead you someplace, all on intuition, all based on intuition. You know there's something wrong here. There's got to be something wrong here. But what is it? You would never know until you start asking questions. John, I thank you so much for bringing this to our attention.
Pleasure talking to you. Be well.
Thank you very much. And if you have anything else to share, please call again and let us know more about this detention center and what is going on. I am going to read or follow up with the reports that you suggested, and with the Felix Montanez, I'm going to try and see if we could find him and talk about this. So you see, it makes perfect sense now. Something that didn't make any sense. Now we can see that while, you know, life is going on, there's a whole parallel life that is also going on that we know nothing about. Thank you so much. Well, thank you all for calling in. I'm very happy, I hope you are, that we got even closer to the answer today to one question raised. And that is the beauty of this program. We'll talk to each other again tomorrow. Bye-bye.